Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. I'm going to talk about a real Be You kind of person today. Somebody forwarded me a note that the CEO of Shopify, Toby, sent to his employees. And I don't know if you've seen it. It's on LinkedIn. It's on social media. It's sort of out there in a variety of different places. And I'm going to read some excerpts from it because it's some people will find it shocking because they have this image of organization. Some people will find it refreshing. And I think some people may be even disgusted by it. And then there may be others that are sort of like, it's about time someone actually said what they thought as opposed to all this mumbo jumble. So he opens by saying, leadership is tough. Leadership through times of crisis and ambiguity is doubly tough. And he talks about his teams needing them more than ever. And he says, the best thing we can do for our team is not add to ambiguity. He said, I can't tell you how to do that in various departments, but a good start would be to remind people that we are a business. We are a business. You know, I work with a lot of different organizations, and I think sometimes people forget that they are in business to make money. They are not social enterprises. They have social causes. They have human causes. They have all kinds of things. But the bottom line raison d'etre for businesses, whether it be mine or Katie's or anybody else, is to make money, to support ourselves, to return to shareholder some sort of return for the capital that they put up. He goes on to say, everything we do and everybody that works here should be able to describe how their job through a series of direct or indirect steps furthers this mission of being a business to make money. And I thought, what an interesting way to put it, because I think that most people see themselves in most organizations like a cog in the wheel, and what I'm really doing doesn't really make that big of a difference. I'm insignificant. And I would say that more people in organizations feel that sense of, I don't really matter. And what he's saying is that everybody matters, and mattering is your choice on how you impact the organization and achieving its goals. He goes on to say, which I find it shocking, refreshing, and I think only a company like Shopify or a startup company could actually say these things, but you know me about truth and transparency. He said, like any other for-profit company, is not a family. The very idea is preposterous. You're born into a family. You never choose it, and they can't unfamily you. It should be massively obvious that Shopify is not a family. But I see people, even leaders, casually use terms like Shopafam, which cause the members of our teams to get the wrong impressions. The dangers of family thinking are that it becomes incredibly hard to let poor performers go. Shopify is a team, not a family. We literally only want the best people in the world. The reason why you joined Shopify is because I hope all the people you met during the interview process were really smart, caring, and committed. This is the magic, and it creates a virtuous magnetism on talented people because very few people in the world have this in themselves. People who don't should not be part of this team. So, you know, this historical social contract that companies have had with people, which is people have sort of thought of companies as we're cutthroat, we're uncaring, or we're too caring. And if you ask most employees to point out the people in the organization that either didn't get their promotion on merit or didn't get their job on merit, or aren't particularly good or don't have the answer to the question, why is that person still here? Like, I mean, or why are they making as much as they make? I can't tell you the number of times when I've worked on assignments when, you know, you unveil the kimono of compensation and you've taken over a new business. And the first thing you try to do is figure out, why is Katie getting paid what Katie's getting paid and Jim's getting paid what Jim's getting paid? Katie's way better than Jim. But let's even take that even further. Katie's way better than Jim, but Jim's a better friend to the boss. I've always hated that. I've always hated this feeling that there are special rules for different people. And it all always boiled down to people's unwillingness to have transparency and truth and honesty. I remember once saying that, you know, I wish all compensation was public. What everybody made was public. And people used to say to me when I was at Wigendi, you know, like, are you out of your mind? I mean, it would be pandemonium. And I said, would it be pandemonium? Or would it basically take that whole segment of people's thinking, which is, you know, what does Katie make? You know, what does Jim make? Are they making more than me and everything else? And I said, but the really important thing was that management would be held accountable for why I pay Katie less than I pay Jim, why Bob makes more than Mary. We could be at a turning point in this sort of disclosure and people like Toby taking this kind of really brave leadership in sending this note out. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, a whole bunch of people on either side of the spectrum that'll take them apart. And there'll be people in the company go, oh, wow, I thought we were family. You know, I thought we were this. And if you think about sporting teams, you think about performance teams, you think about car racing teams, you think about any sort of performance organization, real performance organization, it's all about winning. And they are ruthless, but fair. And to me, the fairness is you know what the rules are. Everybody knows I love golf. Golf is a very simple sport. Doesn't matter how fat you are, how tall you are, how skinny you are, whether you're a woman or a man, a child or anything else, it's all about the score. It's just about the score. It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter if your ball trickled across, dropped in the hole, hit a tree, bounced across the highway and back in the hole. Doesn't matter. It's the most transparent sport available. There's no referees. There's nothing else. He then goes on to talk about something that myself and a number of people have talked about is, you know, there are so many social issues going on currently that I think that everyone feels like they have to be politically correct. And there are many issues that I feel strongly about, and there's many that I'm sympathetic to and empathetic to, but I don't feel as strongly about. Yet, I feel I have to be far more cautious, less about what I think, but more about making sure I don't leave something out. And all of these issues have become such that every organization has to kind of tick the box. Are you climate change, pro-climate change, or reduce carbon, you know, whatever it is, when they're not really doing anything about it. But if they don't say something about it, somebody's going to, you know, some reporter's going to write some story. And then some clients can say, oh, you're not for climate change, so we don't want to do business with you anymore. And it all types of unravel. And so he talks about it in an interesting way here. He says, Shopify is also not the government. We cannot solve every societal problem here. We're part of an ecosystem of economies, of cultures, and of actual countries. We also can't take care of all your needs. We will try our best to take care of the ones that ensure you can support our mission, but we can't take care of them all. We believe in liberal values and equality of opportunity. Sometimes we see opportunities to nudge these causes. We do this because it directly helps our business and our merchants, not because of some moralistic overreach. You know, I think we've moved into this phase where, and maybe it's just an extension of what we're seeing, that, you know, some people don't want to go back to work because they're getting government payments. You look at the restaurant industry, they can't hire people because people are making $20 an hour to stay home. And I think society has moved to more and more people want to be taken care of, right? My needs, my needs, my needs. But they don't want to take responsibility for their needs. And in saying, my needs aren't being fulfilled at this company, so I should leave and I should go somewhere else. They're saying, I want to stay here, but you need to fulfill my needs, even though if they don't work for you. So to me, he's really actually calling out a state of mind that companies are sort of all falling into, thinking that they have to be all and the end all and solve every problem that society has. Again, I agree with the next statement, which is the only way to build a world-class product or die trying to do it is to have incredible people. And every day I coach people, and I have been doing it now for a long time, but I would say specifically in my coaching practice, I have yet to find someone that I've coached that has said to me, I have incredible people. I need help taking them to the next level. Now, some would say, well, the reason they're talking to you is because they don't have incredible people. And if they did, they don't need you, which is probably true. But I've yet had someone say to me, like out of my team of 8 or 10, I have two incredible people. You know, I put it to someone the other day. I said to them, I want you to break down your people that report to you into three groups. I want you to break them down into the first group, which is those that want the ball in the last 3 seconds of a game. They got their hands up going, give me the ball. I want the last shot. I want the last everything. Those that want the ball, second group, those that want the ball, you know, they're never going to make the last shot. But their intentions are good. They want the ball. And then the third group, which is those that are mortified at the even thought of having the ball in the last shot. When this client of mine did that, they realized how woefully deficient they were on, as Toby says, having incredibly people. But that doesn't necessarily, recognition of that situation doesn't necessarily mean you'll take action on it, right? Because we all do the same thing. Well, we all try. I think I can make them better. I think I can help them. I think I can do this. I can think I can do that. But the reality is, time after time, evidence shows they can't get the job done. And by the way, people can't get the job done and are constantly being beaten on or berated by their management team don't have a great amount of self-esteem. And the reality is they're probably unhappy about their jobs as well. And that they would, how you could best help them is actually help them figure out what they're really good at and put them in a spot where they would be really good. It may mean it's not a promotion. It may mean it's not more money, but their likelihood of success will be significantly greater if they are on that spot. He then went on to say about incredible people. Some of them we hire on future potential and we help them, but we expect them to grow into their potential. We expect them to take responsibility for growing into their potential. Some of them we bring in further down their careers, but we all, very important, have to requalify for our jobs every year. There is no annuity. There is no job for life. There is no, well, you know, I kind of mailing in at this point. I've been here 10 or 15 years, right? There's that sense of that burn. We need to remind everyone that like any other competitive sports team, it matters how you show up every day and contribute to the team's success. Beyond straight performance, output, everyone that engages in the endless slack trolling, victimhood thinking, us versus them, divisiveness, and zero-sum thinking must be seen for the threat that they are. They break teams. Ask yourself the last time someone actually said that. Ask yourself where you work if people were that candid about their view on people like that. Teams survive and thrive on the actions of the collective and the cohesiveness of the whole. Poor performance and divisiveness cannot be tolerated. And if this sounds at all surprising, somehow we've lost our way. And I think what he's talking about here is, I think he has a profound feeling that this is an inflection point for them, that perhaps as a new company, relatively new, these were the underlying values that established the company. But as companies get bigger and larger, it's more difficult. It's like families, right? You have one child, it's easy to manage a one-child family. If you're in a situation like myself, you have six kids and a new grandchild. you know, there's a lot more stuff to mess up, a lot more stuff that's great, a lot more stuff to manage, a lot more credit card bills to pay, all of those types of things. And so what I want people to do is, first of all, I want people to go and read this. You know, this is Ray Dalio-ish, right? Different generation, same kind of entrepreneur. You know, when you're an entrepreneur and you're the leader of the company, like Ray Dalio or Michael Bloomberg or the Google people and Bill Gates, you know, you can do things because you want to do them. You can say things because you want to say them. Does that mean that if you don't own the company, you can't speak the truth? Does that mean if you don't own the company, you're not allowed to say what you think? Does that mean the difference between an entrepreneur who started a company and a CEO who's running a public company that became the CEO have different roles and responsibilities of truth and honesty? Does that mean that one company is for profit, the other says it is for profit, but it doesn't really run like it's for profit? It does, but not hard-nosed profit. You know, Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan, would be considered a very hard-nosed executive driving the world's largest bank in the world. So I want people to think about it. I want them to go and read the article because it doesn't do it justice with me just picking out pieces here and there. I want people to read the article, and then I want them to ask themselves the questions that are posed in this article about themselves. Are they divisive? You know, are they slacking? Are they not working towards the team effort? And then on the other side of the coin, I'd ask you to ask yourself the question, if this is the acid test of truth and transparency, then where does my company stand on that scale of 1 to 10? Is my company just foolery about mom's apple pie? It's all great. Kumbaya. Let's all hold hands. Oh, Mary and Bob have been here for 32 years. We can't move them out. And yes, I know so-and-so's not very good, but we have to, you know, this sort of matriarch society that we have to take care of everybody. Well, what about everybody taking care of themselves in showing up and performing? I have to show up and perform every day. Katie, you have to show up and perform every day. You start doing a poor job, I can't afford to keep you. I got to fire you. If I start doing a poor job, clients aren't going to hire me. So why is it different for entrepreneurs than it is for corporations? And should it be different? I don't think so. Read the letter to the employees. Ask yourself the questions that are posed in that. I'm Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You. The world will adjust.